Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Joshua Fillon, Lindsay H, Amy Stapleton, Max Cairnduff, Rosie Delight, Kristen Ahlstrom, Anika Khan, Adam Bertolette, Linda Julia, Sean Froling. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick confession. You might notice when listening to today's episode that the number in the introduction is a bit wrong. Now, don't worry, we didn't release the wrong episode or anything, and there's a perfectly simple explanation. I'm an idiot, and I forgot how to count. So yeah, my bad. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, because I am never going to live it down.
Welcome to episode 59 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand of McCaffigan.
Hamid Salah Hulunata Ham.
Sasha Rackett.
Zolf Smith.
And everything isn't going great, but you're not dead. And only one of you is unconscious.
Woo!
So,
yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
actually pretty good.
And yeah. Like, as far as like trends go,
though he's with the one person who doesn't know how to wake him up.
Bertie's just chasing rabbits. He's having a lovely time.
So, right. As it stands, the party are still attempting to broadly escape Paris as the underworld rises up and starts claiming it. And by that, I mean the criminal elements. Oh. So, having, again...
Well, here, because they're based on the Eiffel Tower, they're the overworld. So in London, you've got other London, which is underneath. But in Paris, it's actually all like...
Oh, it's
an upper city.
It's all kooky.
Oh, it's
I
all
have heard
kooky.
That France is a topsy-turvy, crazy way.
So, having had Wild turn up and attempt to sort of corral you out of Paris, sadly, you got jumped. He got drugged. And you all managed to escape, only to then make it to a locksmith, only to then have the locksmiths attacked. You managed to escape out into the street, and just as you were trying to flee, Bertie kind of went off on one and tried to get the archers.
Tried to flush out the sniper's nest, you're welcome.
And kind of ended up a little bit unconscious. So then Sasha, who if you spent a brief stint unconscious, but barely counts, headed back to sort that out. On the bright side, though, Hamid, you've managed to pull Bertie down some stairs.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, gently.
Gently and lovingly.
Without
cradling
ever...
his head.
So,
without ever knocking him in the way that might just wake him up.
And I believe that the last thing that happened was Zolf managed to trip over a new enemy, flip over and land face down in front of the one that you were attempting to tackle, who had kind of been starting to raise the alarm a little bit.
Yeah.
With that in mind, the person that you were about to tackle... immediately scarpers.
Yep.
The person who lifted up the sewer curses, as they are currently in the sewer with a face full of Zolf's watery boot.
And they're wearing boots.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's watery.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I thought we discussed this, and it turns out he doesn't leave wet footprints. It's just sort of a mildewy...
He's had the experience of being palpated by a flannel.
He's just there going... Oh, it's like drizzle! Exactly. Oh, it's terrible!
It's like someone flicked a wet towel in his face.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't really much impact in it. It was just the shock of being kicked by water was enough to push them back down.
Particularly since they've come out of a sewer.
That dice went away.
That dice flew away. I'm going to grab that one.
Rebel dice.
So, the two enemies that you were facing, one of them has fled and the other one has gone back down into the sewer. Sasha, you're up. You've managed to successfully dodge an arrow. And you are on a roof with what looks like... In fact, give me a perception check in general. I haven't got one for them.
18 plus 9, 27.
Did you sigh when you got a 27 on a perception check? You need to lower your standards.
No. I think I just sighed in general. I mean, you know, life these days. It's just sometimes... I don't really want to know what's going on. Sometimes I don't even check Twitter for almost 5 minutes.
Welcome to OnWeCast.
So, having a quick look, there are only two... Let's be honest, there were two snipers up on this roof.
Yep.
They look like they were set up with their equipment. So there are a bunch of arrows in the rooftop, you know, ready to pluck and go.
Yeah.
They had a trap set up. You, with this perception check, you've had a little bit more time. They've clearly been rigging something up with Alchemist's Fire to give a very, very bad day to anyone who tried to come up the skylight again. Most likely to be Bertie, probably, if he ever woke up. And they appear to be geared up to the eyeballs. They're both wearing face masks and hoods pulled up so that you couldn't tell who they were even if you wanted to. They're quite slim, so they're not like big bruisers. But you can also see from your vantage point that there are a few more people rushing across rooftops. However, they're not all converging on you or anything like that.
Yeah.
Mostly, you can see the remnants that were firing at Bertie when you were in the locksmith scattering, but it's becoming apparent to you that they're stopping scattering. It's probably because they may have realised it's an illusion by this point. Like, they're dotted around all of the rooftops, basically.
So essentially, this is the kind of job that Sasha would have been doing 6 months ago.
Exactly the kind of job that Sasha would have been doing 6 months ago. Your turn, what do you do?
Okay, so Sasha is going to try and do full Cirque du Soleil cowardice
move. It's a very specific type of cowardice.
Yeah, it's like after they'd done the, you know, Cirque du Soleil Le Frog. I know there were adverts everywhere of them all dressed as frogs. And it was,
big
you know,
thing.
And then they did a cat one. They did, you know, Cirque du Soleil theme. She's going to do a cowardly rogue and do a sort of tumble. No, she's going to go through his legs,
sure.
Slip down between his legs, down the hole, and then throw a tanglefoot bag up to keep
okay.
him up.
Okay, so give me a tumble check.
That is 26.
That die has been doing significant work for you in the last couple
of
episodes.
Yes,
remember
it has.
That she has an acrobatics bonus of
11.
Like,
you also haven't rolled below 14 yet.
Just true, throwing that true. Out there, I mean, I haven't rolled higher than a 9 for Wild the entire time he's been with you guys. So you successfully straight through the legs and you land, drawing a tanglefoot bag as you go. You land squarely, ready to throw. Give me an attack roll.
Is that a 20?
That is a crit.
Right. Yes. So she crits, does it throw in the face? Is
so
his face tangled?
You slide through the legs, you bounce off the wall, deliberately land.
Doink, doink, doink.
You then turn around, and because cool guys don't look at explosions, you throw the tanglefoot bag just cursorily over your shoulder.
Yeah.
It goes up, you hear the damn it! And I'll allow you to stroll out, having successfully incapacitated the person.
Yep.
Maximum cool.
Yep. Gonna just saunter.
Sasha.
Saunter. Silently. And there's no one around as well.
Hamid. You see Sasha sauntering out of what she really shouldn't be sauntering out of. Like, the stakes are incredibly high, but
mechanically
she looks...
sauntering.
She looks like a tomcat who just got a saucer of milk. Hamid, you're up. You're at the bottom of the stairs, dragging Bertie.
Sasha, how do we get Bertie out of here?
Slap him in the face!
What? Are you I sort of half-heartedly slap Bertie in the face.
You'll raise the helmet to do so, obviously, but yes.
I was having the most terrible dream. I was in an exam that I hadn't revised for, and I'd also forgotten to pay off the exam board.
You awake. What's more? It's now your turn. Congratulations, you only had to wait a whole episode, but it's your turn.
Okay, right.
Get out of here.
Bertie wants to draw his sword and charge up the stairs again.
I'll allow it.
Bertie makes moves in this direction, but assumes that Hamid or...
Yes.
Okay, it's going to stop him.
No, Sasha's just going to... No.
Fine. All right, fine.
Zolf, you are unaware of all of this. You're currently flat on your back. The person who you were tackling has run off, which is a good thing, but to get more people, which is a bad thing. What do you do?
Is the person I kicked in the face that I'm now aware of still kind of head
you
out?
You hear the distinct sounds of someone sloshing around in the sewers beneath you, echoing up through the
cool.
hole.
I'm going to stay on the ground, get the rapier out, stay on the ground, and ready in action for when that man pops his head out of the... sewers again, I'm going to put the rapier through it.
Okay.
I just want to point out that the damp mildewiness of your touch is so horrendous that someone has chosen to slosh back into actual raw sewage.
It's a talent.
It's also the final paragraph on Zolf's online dating.
His gift is his curse. Yeah. Your readied action goes off.
Oh, there you go.
A person tries to climb up and is face to face with you at the end of a rapier.
Whoop.
Yep, give me the roll.
Shish kebab.
Yeah. I rolled a 2.
I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is it's not a fumble.
Yeah, that's right.
The bad news is they basically put their head up, you go, ha ha! They use that time to just duck again and you go, stop announcing! Stop announcing when you're going to attack! Gah! Basic stuff!
Yeah.
Shouldn't have given that half hour lecture on my motivations, exactly what I'm going to do with the laser to the moon.
Why did I write my evil plan in a large volume and call it my struggle and have it published all across France? Why did I do that? Why?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Sasha, you're up.
I got one more smoke bomb, right? Don't waste it. That alleyway. She throws the smoke bomb out and then runs.
Okay.
The alleyway.
Again, I will not get a stealth check in that case because the smoke will be sufficient to cover you.
Mm-hmm.
Hamid, you're up.
I hold my action to make sure Bertie's running in the right direction.
Look at you working as a well-oiled machine to keep Bertie on point. Bertie, you're up.
Bertie thinks about it like...
I point.
Yeah. Bertie follows the direction of Hamid's pointing.
Okay, and then Hamid, it's the end
I
of the round.
I move after him.
Funnily enough. Okay, you all make it back to the alleyway.
Yay!
At the far end to Zolf. Zolf, you're up.
Okay, so is there some sort of manhole cover they keep poking away?
Yes.
Just, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
You could just put that cover back.
I'm going to put it back and sit on it.
You're strong enough to not need any checks. It's a basic cover, so you just tum,
yeah.
Sit on it. You hear...
Adventures of man.
Dwarf.
At which point I am going to drop out of initiative, because the person on the ground has no way of lifting that now, and there are no enemies currently nearby, so I will allow you all to reconvene, as long as it's where Zolf is.
Right, we've been seen, so we need to get out of here quick.
Yes, let's just flee.
Oh, also there's a man on this manhole cover, so he may try and chase us after I get off, but prefer to run. Let's go.
We could escape through the sewer, Bertie says, drawing his sword.
We don't know where that leads. We don't know how to get. We don't have to navigate the sewer.
Wild, where's the best exit?
Wild stumbles up again. He's like, he just looks at Zolf. He actually looks apologetic. He doesn't say anything, and he goes.
Glare at him.
Yeah, he goes. Right, we can't use the sewers. The sewers they've got locked down. The rail network is basically not running. As far as I'm aware, the only place that's left is the aeroport.
Right, let's go.
Okay, it's a pretty significant distance.
Well, fine.
We need to get walking.
Right.
Oh. Bertie, there's a metal bar there. Shove it through the manhole cover so it can't get opened.
Bertie does so.
I wouldn't even need a check.
Yep.
You just bend it into a nice looking bow.
Very nice. It's double tied. It's quite fancy.
Wrap it through the hole in it.
Over the street.
So Wild takes a moment, he looks around and goes, okay, this way, and he starts going again cautiously rather than legging it, and starts heading off. I'm assuming that you're all following his lead?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go at the back.
So Wild, as he's stalking along cautiously, there's definitely something going on. There's a few plumes of smoke which are visible like above the rooftops around the city. Occasionally you'll all take a moment. Sasha's probably going to be the best at spotting this, you know. Tells everyone to stay as a couple of people jump across an alleyway and things like that, and you're just going very, very cautiously and not just bombing it. There's a few hairy moments. As you're heading, Wild is basically explaining what he couldn't explain and didn't have the time to earlier, and it's very clear as time passes on that he's sobering up. Whatever happened to him has clearly been a short-term thing, and he just needed the time to just wear it off. And as he does, he goes from being a little bit panicked and a little bit overwhelmed to he's starting to get a bit of his manner back. The conversation plays out over a fairly extended period, so I won't RP the whole lot, it'll take a while, but as he is your handler, he is wanting you to move on from Paris to Prague if possible. The reason for that is that, as far as you can tell, the higher-ups are getting worried that the American separatists have managed to get hold of the simulacrum plans. The American separatists is a thing that's come up before. Basically, there's a group of humanity who have decided to break out into what is effectively North America and try to set up shop on the East Coast. They have the blessing of the meritocrats insofar as, hey, yeah, you're not in prison, go nuts. It's going to be incredibly difficult, and it is. It's widely known it's going very badly. And they're worried that a bunch of American separatists are a subsection of the people who are trying to colonize North America and just want shot off meritocrats entirely, not even cordial, like break off all relations completely. They're worried that these people have gotten hold of the simulacrum, and what's more, it's known, and he's revealing this to you, that Tesla, Babbage, and Ada have all sort of defected across to America. Whether they were the separatists or not, no one knows. But what they have now is a crack team of people who are very good at making things like the Simulacrum, may have the Simulacrum plans, and maybe with politically very, very volatile groups who may want to create an enormous amount of problem. So what they're hoping now is that rather than making this army themselves, they're hoping for you to go on and find weaknesses to exploit. You've already destroyed the plans that were here. The chances of them being able to make it without whatever's in the Americas are slim. What they want now is, you know, Achilles heel territory. What can they actually use to stop this sweeping across meritocratic lands and just treating people like rubbish?
So our extended goal is still to research the original design.
Correct, but with a different final objective, which is rather than it being let's make this ourselves, it's that ship's kind of sailed.
Identify weaknesses.
We want to stop this from happening at this point.
Hammond is going to be quite vociferous about dealing with the problems in Paris. Like, he'll agree to this essentially as long as Wilde makes some pretty convincing assurances that other people are coming to Paris to help out Paris. Like, the truth is that us as a team are not exactly well placed to go up against the Le Gourmand and solve all these problems, but Hammond will not agree to leave Paris until he's pretty certain that someone is.
I am now going to RP this specific bit. You've effectively just said what you said, but couched as Hammond. Right, the reason I couldn't... The reason we've been rushing and the reason we don't want to be captured is Guivre is going to make a move. Guivre being the meritocrat responsible for Paris. Like, the actual meritocrat. Eiffel's Folly's gone far enough. They're making a move. We've stepping in personally. We do not want to be here when that happens.
Wait, so she's gonna fly around, do the whole being a massive dragon thing?
She's not going to be raising Paris to the ground, but Eiffel's Folly is going to be probably Eiffel's flat piece of charred glass.
Right.
We do not want to be captured and taken there. Similarly, we do not want to be out and about. Because whilst Guivre is incredibly good at combating enormous amounts of people simultaneously, spotting a few people who are actually meaning well in a city that's awash with people who mean ill probably isn't going to go well.
So, I mean, still going to try and evacuate as many people as possible, right? Because, you know, setting that kind of thing off in the middle of the city is going to have a lot of...
I mean, it looks pretty empty, like, everywhere that we're going around.
You haven't seen any civilians.
Right.
You haven't seen a single civilian on the streets anymore. There was one point where you may have done, but not really. It looks like pretty much the entirety of Paris has locked up.
There was that old woman in the shop.
Like I said, Guivre isn't going to be destroying Paris, but Guivre is going to be doing flybys, and that's not a place you want to be in right now.
Okay,
this hasn't happened for a few hundred years. This is the scale of things that are going on.
Right, okay.
Gourmand's making a move on the entirety of Paris.
Maybe that old woman was...
She was in her house. I mean, it's going to be people in the streets.
What it comes down to is we can't be in the city right now. Either we hole up or we get you to Prague. Given how pressing the matter is, we need to get you to Prague.
That makes sense.
Kind of on that note, I need equipment. And you're employing us, so give me equipment.
He just looks at you, reaches in, grabs a small bag, throws it at you. There's enough to buy any equipment that you need. Can we just move on?
I also need equipment.
Bertie, as sad as it makes you... Your equipment's more than adequate.
Yes,
and
that's quite... hang on.
So, can everyone...
Hang on, sorry, before this goes on, because Bertie is still having the circuit of command sent to Paris. And he wants that. What about postal forwarding services in times of complete social breakdown? Like, that's his principal concern at this point.
So what do you do about it?
Mr. Wilde, I am having the circuit of command, a historic artifact, my personal property, sent along to La Triomphe. How will it be forwarded to me if we are in Prague? How am I to obtain this and give it its rightful place just above my face?
Well, presumably you gave the hotel a forwarding address. Or at least you told it to head on to the MacGuffington estate or something.
No, but surely the courier won't be able to get into Paris, right? You're calling
absolutely not. It'll just revert to you. As long as you have an alternate address, it'll fine.
Go back to the museum.
But then I won't have it!
Send a message from Prague! Bertie, there's going to be a dragon.
There is the distinct sound of someone noticing a loud, angry Bertie from a distant rooftop and more yelling. We don't have time for this. We need to move on.
I want my pretty hat.
Your hat is going to get to you in Prague, Bertie, just a little later.
Everyone give me a stealth check. This is kind of a long term rather than just a short term.
Oh, Ooh.
Minus three.
15.
Well, Sasha rolled a four, but she does have plus 11.
So what's everyone getting?
12.
15.
Minus three.
That's the worst that Sasha can roll, pretty much.
You shouldn't be so proud of your minus numbers.
Yep.
Okay.
You actively draw attention to yourself.
Yep.
Okay. So, you're all being very, very careful, very, very stealthy. There's a couple of hairy moments, but between you, you all managed to cover one another's backs. And Wiles is making it very clear that probably within the next couple of hours, bear in mind, it's still the middle of the night, like, you got effectively ambushed at the locksmiths at about 2 a.m. or something, so it's starting to approach dawn. So the storm that has been brewing, as I said earlier, has begun to break. It has been torrential downpour for the last hour. You are cold, you are wet, it is not great, but it's been helping you avoid people.
This is categorically the worst day I've ever had.
You finally...
You've got two legs right now.
That is a complicated issue that I don't really want to go into right now.
As you're heading through, it's torrential downpour, and you Wild points across a square. A big, wide, open square.
Sasha's still interested, but... So, losing a leg can't be quite as painful as I assumed, then.
Wild just turns around and goes, "Don't have time! Don't have time for this! Come on, please!" His hair is matted down. No amount of what was presumably prestidigitation is clearing him from this downpour. What turns out to have been some subtle concealer that he's been wearing is running. Wild calls a stop just before the square, and he turns to you and, "Look, the aeroport's on the far side of this. There's a couple of more streets, but we're going to have to cross this square. I'm hoping that the rain will cover us. But we're also quite near where a lot of the problems have been happening. Gorman's been trying to shut down every single transport system. Obviously, you lock the city down and you have it. He doesn't know that Gweave's going to be moving. Why would he? It's been hundreds of years. But we don't know what state the aeroport's in. Okay? Right. It could be hellish. We don't know. So just for what prep you're able to do, please do." As he's saying that, like, it's clearly like dawn is... just beginning to break distantly. You're down in the street, so it's not coming, but it's very clear that the night's kind of passed.
Titans are already loaded, spring-loaded wrist sheets.
Anyone got any other prep they can do? I suspect it's going to be awful.
No, I'm currently a dwarf in some clothes.
Kind of, yeah, I mean, that's better than...
At least I've got clothes,
Would you be better at sneaking without them on?
No. I would definitely be colder.
I load and ready my crossbow.
Bertie draws a sword, ready his shield.
I mean, if you've got an hour or two, I can make some bombs.
We should just go.
Alright.
Wild sets out. Everyone give me a stealth check.
Oh no. 7.
16.
25.
10 minus 8 is 2.
I hide behind Burton.
Solid.
As you all set out into the square with the rain pummeling downwards, we'll take a break and be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey everyone, Alex here with another quick update for you. Rusty Quill Gaming will be recording a one-off live episode on August 17th at the Harrison in King's Cross, London, England. Myself, Ben and Lydia will be attending along with Johnny Sims from the Magnus Archives, and we'll be double billing with the Chaotic Adequate podcast. Tickets are still available, but we can't guarantee they'll stay that way, so if you are planning on coming, don't wait till the last minute. For more details, visit our website or follow the link in the show notes. We look forward to seeing you in person. And now, let's get back to the episode.
And welcome back. So you're setting off across the square. The streets obviously disappear off to either side. It's such a torrential downpour, you cannot see in the distance. So you're creeping forward, creeping forward. There's a moment where Wild loses his balance, he catches himself, has a look around. There's a moment where Bertie, significantly louder, loses his balance with a great clang. Hopefully the rain deadened the noise, you're not sure. As you continue on, you see moving shapes at the far end of the square, lots of them, and you hear what sounds like combat. No one appears to have noticed you because you're covered by the rain currently, but there's clearly something big going down at the far side of the square. You're currently in the exact middle of the square. You're by a fountain, which is just gushing over because the rain is pouring down and it's just flooding into the square.
Oh, this doesn't look good. Does anyone have any ideas?
I mean, I've got a thunderstone. I could throw it at the other side and maybe everyone would run after it.
I don't know if they're actually having a fight. Maybe you just throw it into them and try and distract them while we break through the line?
Ooh, that'd be cool. And, wow, could you conjure us up another tank?
Yeah, could you actually just do any spell?
Yeah.
He looks at Zolf.
Zolf looks at him. Holds up his fingers.
I know we're all.
While basically steps down from the precipice, we don't have time for this. Yes, I can.
Right, yeah, let's get us another tank. Right. Can you make gyrocopters?
Sure.
Cool.
Can I have a pony?
Yes.
We don't have time for this.
No.
Do we, Wild?
No, we don't. Right, so what's the plan? I give you a distraction and what?
And then we run through.
We just have to break through the line.
Look around you. He's like, he's having to sort of speak quite loudly over the rain.
So something that lights up is probably going to be pretty noticeable.
Fine! He just clicks his fingers, mutters something, and then throws his hand into the air. There is the roar of some massive mechanical behemoth above the sky. What little light is coming from the dawn is blocked out as a great shadow. Something four-winged swoops overhead and continues off. You hear cries of fear and distraught people at the opposite
end. That's all right, then.
So why didn't you do that before? Let's go, go,
that was
go!
True! You start running. There is, again, it sounds like someone took a dragon and then mated it with a tank and then took what was left and put it on steroids. Whatever he has made is massive, loud, impressive.
Appraises it so hard. Oh man, rolls a 19. Yeah, shoot. Whoa.
I tell you what, you can't see it, but it sounds expensive. It swoops across the square and you can see its shadow playing upon all of the various buildings. As Wild's running along, you can see him concentrating and his eyes are sort of flicking as he's... He looks like he's calculating something. His head will turn to the left and then suddenly you'll hear what sounds like an explosion and something huge going off. Hamid, give me a Knowledge Arcana.
28.
Can I also?
If you've got Knowledge Arcana, please do.
7, should
I? So you think it's a really basic spell and it's not really
I know, it's a comprehension. It's like, this is beyond me.
So, Hamid, you know that whilst he may have been a bit naff earlier, he is a masterful illusionist, like top draw, short of like, you know, making cities appear like they're not there. He's pretty high. He's as high as you would get for someone who's actually still out in the field getting their hands dirty. Yeah. This is really excellent spellcraft. So you run on, and as you're running towards there, he just says, give me a moment. There's another huge, what sounds like explosion directly in front of you. You don't feel the heat of it, but you can see a bright flash of light and what looks like pieces of debris going everywhere. That should make it easier.
Oh yeah, that's a bit of alright, yeah!
Right, well let's go, take advantage.
Okay, he's looking quite tired, but yeah. You run on and you head towards a large, large building that actually looks more modelled after, you know, the sort of art deco stations that you can get?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look like an airport. It looks like a train station. Big, huge facade at the front. Lots of artistic depictions of gods in various flattering poses and has a certain Art Deco style.
Elongated and very stony.
Yes. And as you're running up to it, at first, it looks like there's been a huge explosion at the front. It looks like it has been decimated by something and pieces of it are falling. As you run, there's a faint buzz as you walk through and suddenly it's completely fine. It hasn't been damaged at all. It's absolutely fine. Wild looks behind you and goes, if anyone goes through, they'll see. I can't keep this kind of stuff up for much longer.
Fine. Do we have a thing that can take us up?
What you see is what you've got. We just have to find something. I don't know.
Do you know how to fly one of these things?
No.
Does anybody know? Do any of you know?
I can give it a try.
I am also very good at trying.
Sasha, right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, give it the old college try, yeah?
Yeah, let's do this. I can disable devices, so why on earth could I not
give
it enable
yeah.
them?
Right, okay.
I mean, if they're magical, I might be able to figure it out.
All right, group effort then. Okay, let's get on a plane.
So, you head through the double
door. I cast detect magic.
Okay. So, giving detect magic, obviously, I'm assuming that you take the time, concentrate, and blah, blah, blah. You detect nothing ahead of you. Casting your head around, though, you detect really strong illusion magic from whatever Wild has put up.
I'm not even, yeah.
Like,
that's a quick glance, but I'm heading into the hangar and looking at the
There's nothing. So heading in, it's not actually a hangar. You're heading into a foyer you're at the public entrance to this. So heading in, it is marble. It's actually in really good condition and it appears empty. There is definitely the sign of people having recently fled, though. You see there's a couple of daggers that have been left in the floor.
Ooh.
There's maybe a length of rope and things like that. People clearly went, That's a very big, scary thing, and just fled.
Are there any nice daggers?
Nah, they're all rubbish.
Right, come on, let's
look,
go.
Yeah, looking out the window, are there any crafts?
It's torrential downpour. There's a pair of staircases, like, sweeping, like I said, Art Deco styles, leading up to higher floors. And there's a staff-only thing to the left. To the right is what looks like some more airport, like, public-facing stuff, and you can see big glass fronted back to the building. Like, effectively, there's no back wall. It's just big and glass. And you can see what looks like there might be open space on the far side.
Is
again, it's torrential downpour.
Is there a door in this large glass facade?
No.
Like, whoa, where are the gyrocopters? Where are the flying things?
I'm not an engineer. I don't know.
Have you ever been to the airport?
Once!
I'm going to hazard a guess that they're not indoors.
Yes, they're either going to be on the roof or they're going to be out there.
Right.
He gestures to the big, massive glass-fronted thing that's probably a viewport of some kind.
So I'm going to fire an icicle, and then if I get another round, another icicle at the window so that it smashes and we can just run
through. It takes two. The first one goes, that it throws some cracks out, but it's clearly like reinforced glass because it's massive.
Yeah.
It is like... This foyer is about three stories tall. It's actually quite impressive. If you had the time, the chandeliers, it's quite opulent, but, you know, busy, busy, busy.
might die.
The second one shatters through. The entire sheet, it looks like it's actually maybe two or three sheets that have just been reinforced against one another. It just collapses down in one big, huge one.
Does the glass dust, like, collapse
on us?
It
safety
is.
Glass?
We get shattered.
What's the range of the icicle?
30 foot.
It's 30 foot away. It shatters, glass goes everywhere. Everyone give me a reflex save. You're so eager for me to hurt you, you don't even let me get it out before I start hurting you.
Ow!
18.
18?
21.
21.
17.
6. Yeah. I'm in front.
So you shoot at it, you shoot at it again. Everyone else, seeing an enormous amount of glass falling to the ground and shattering everywhere, let's just say Bertie closes his helmet and everyone goes in single file behind him. Yeah. Solf, you don't do that.
No, I'll just keep going. Busy, busy, busy as you
go. You take 10 damage from the glass.
Really glad I healed myself.
Yeah, really, really quite a good call.
Yeah.
But the glass goes everywhere.
Oh, we've lost the non-lethal damage, haven't we?
Yes.
Cool, yes, I'm covered in horrible shards.
The second
glass.
That you do, obviously, rain and wind starts pouring into the foyer. You've opened it to the elements. You can see a bit more movement out there, but you can't get more than that. Wiles is not paying attention right now. He is facing the way that you came in, and he's clearly maintaining the illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, come on, let's go!
Bertie follows and rushes through.
Where are they? Where are the big flying things?
I assume they keep them in hangars or something.
Okay, do you
look around? What can be seen?
Run through the window.
Everyone give me perception checks.
Perceive aeroplane.
Ooh, critical, 20.
Ooh!
Minus one, which is still 19.
Still a crit. Yeah. You get to keep that. 14.
14?
I rolled a 3, so that's only 12.
20, but not a natural one.
Okay.
Sasha's distracted by appraising.
Well, no, what you did is you were running and you were looking for other bits of glass that might fall and saw a very big, very shiny chandelier, and as you watch, you see a tiny little plane take off in the chandelier. It's got automated mechanical planes circling around, and it turns out it's this big elaborate set piece you didn't notice at first. No wonder you didn't see anything else. Zolf, you're looking off to one side, basically scraping glass out of your
eye. That's her.
Sasha, obviously distracted, and Wild is facing the wrong way. Bertie and Hamid, you can see there is a very large distance open in front of you. Basically an airfield to all intents and purposes. You can see that there are what look to be large hangars, very, very distant in the left. There's a brief flash of lightning which gives enough light for you to see. You don't see any movement over there. You also see more hangars on the extreme right. You see lots of movement over there. However, in the far, far distance, directly opposite, you can't see. It just disappears into the rain and gloom.
Make eye contact with Bertie and go, that way?
Yes, correct. The far hangers, yeah.
On the ones on the left where there is no movement.
Yes, quite so.
We start running.
Okay.
I'll follow these guys. Yeah. They've obviously seen something.
Wild takes a moment, and then once you've all headed off, turns and starts running. Are you guys breakneck speeding, or does Wild have a chance to catch up? Okay, he runs up. He looks more tired than he should do for that running. It's probably all of the illusions. He's just like, they'll know that it was all fake. I can't do that again.
Fine, let's go.
That's me done. So, you're running. You start approaching the warehouses. Everyone give me perception checks.
Six.
5 minus 1 is 4.
Back on 4.
Yep.
14. Pretty bad for her.
I felt like my critical 20 shouldn't have got more. Never mind.
Just 24. Playing.
Yeah.
Really 24. Well.
The problem is I'd have given you more if there was more to see, but yeah, you're looking at things that are very, very distant.
Yeah. Right.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. Oh well.
So, Hamid. The rest of you are having a bit of a hard time. Hamid, just by fluke of being slightly closer to the ground, I suppose, there's a moment part in the rain for you. There are three hangars, it turns out. A near one, a middle one, and a far one. All three appear to have their fronts open. Inside the nearest one, you can see, is a huge dismantled thing. You're not a gearhead, don't know what it is, it's a dismantled thing. The second and third one, more distant ones, you can't see from here.
Keep running. Don't head towards the first one. And say I think whatever. Doesn't look like there's anything in one piece in there.
Sure. Okay, you all power along to the second hangar. Here you see movement. What you see are a bunch of gnomes, and they are burly for gnomes. So that's unusual, by the way. Gnomes tend to be a bit more slight. They're all quite built. And it is chock full of equipment. Crates and crates and crates of things, pallets, and there are some large, what look like mechanisms hanging from the top of the hangar. The fact that the door's open feels a bit incongruous. I mean, you wouldn't leave this much delicate equipment open to the wind and the rain.
Almost like people are stealing it.
And what you can see is a bunch of burly gnomes are shuttling big crates. Big for them, for like Bertie you'd be able to hold two easily. Mm-hmm. And they are shuttling them from that middle hangar to the far hangar. So you'll see one noble, gesture to the others, pick up a crate, pass it over. That one will, you know, run for 50 feet, pass it to the next one. There's only actually about 5 in the entire shuttle run from.
Five gnomes
from one hangar to the other. They are all wearing identical blue overalls with some kind of flash on the gold on the breast, but you can't really see what it is.
Are blue and gold the colours of any institutions that you might be aware of? Or?
Plenty. Blue and gold, I mean, if nothing else, blue and gold is the colour pairing you see in the Navy a lot.
Sure, but within this context.
Do any of you have previous experience in this, really? I don't believe so.
Knowledge history?
Knowledge history, and I'll allow knowledge local.
Yeah,
both of you give it a go.
Knowledge history,
ooh, natural 20.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That might work.
He's been reading up on the French Navy. Yeah, there's fanzines and everything.
12.
12?
14.
The 12 and the 14, no.
Oh, the French version of the Defence magazine is Jean's Defence Weekly. Sorry, carry on.
I don't get it.
Oh, Jane's Defence Weekly. I didn't know that. Carry on.
It's cute.
For Sasha and Zolf, no, you don't really get anything from it. Actually, Bertie does. So for you, what you see is, it takes a little moment to figure out, and what it is an archaic transport emblem, effectively. You can't see the detailing of it, but you can tell by the cut of the suits and so on. I mean, it's a bit jazzed up, it's got extra pockets, you don't remember that. But you know that there was a period in the sort of last 100 years or so where a transport guild was set up. And this transport guild declared free transport for all, no matter what, blah, blah, blah. And it was a big thing, and there was lots of support for it. But it just never really came together because each of the individual captains proved too unreliable. So it kind of fell apart. But there was a brief shining moment where there was going to be universal free air transport. Never really came together.
What was the guild called?
It was just the Aeroflot
guild. The Aeroflot guild, okay.
But, it never really came together.
Aeroflot?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is super obscure niche knowledge. Like, it was mostly an industry thing that never really came off the ground. You only know it because a distant relative happened to be one of the founding members, and then it never really happened.
And they had a calendar with their poems, with their gyrocopters, in their blue uniforms, all beside them.
So you recognise it as a out-of-date, but technically official uniform.
Right. Gentlemen of the Aeroflot.
They all turn to you. They drop the crate and immediately begin sprinting as fast as they can towards the far hangar.
Follow those gnomes!
But he runs in the direction of the gnomes.
Incredibly, we're all faster than them.
Yeah. I think. Yes, with the exception of Hamid, who is as fast as them.
What are you moving at?
20.
I am also as fast as them.
Oh,
as is Bertie.
I thought you were 30 as well.
No, I go back to my normal as dwarves. Dwarves are 20, but they never stop being 20 is their thing.
Oh, that's it. Yes, I apologise. You don't close the gap. Sasha can close the gap if she chooses.
Yeah, she's going to close the gap and tackle a gnome.
Give me a combat manoeuvre check. So just your d20 plus your CMP. 22.
22?
Roll a natural 20.
Natural 20.
You're running.
Perfect tackle. Rugby style.
You dive
She's never seen rugby playing.
You dive for one gnome. He turns and has enough time to register you flying out of the rain towards him. He backs up, you hit him, and he tumbles in such a way that you take out a second
gnome. My dominoes!
The first two stop, kind of look to you, look back, look to you, look back, and then the ones that you have tackled just yell to them, go, 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 go!
We just want out of the city! Just shouts in their face.
The ones that you've tackled, like, they're not trying to fight you. They look burly, but also they're clearly not fighters. They're just kind of like, get away.
I'm just going to shout after them, we can pay!
The last gnome that was running stops, turns around. You see his head duck bow. And then you see three gnomes come back out running, going, and you know, they're bowing their heads under the rain, and they run up to you and just go, say that again.
We need to get to Prague. We can pay.
Merit's crack coin. Come on.
Show it.
I'll get the bag. I'll get the equipment bag out and shake it around.
He holds his hand out for the bag.
I'm shaking it. So
it's come full of gears. I don't care. Show me.
Open it. Open the bag. Still holding it. I'm not giving it down.
He makes a snatch for the bag now.
Take it back.
Give me a reflex save, but it won't be a high one.
Probably roll badly.
Oh, that was really bad.
Because Bertie is suspicious of gnomes. Bertie is ready to slap down that arm.
I'll allow this.
Yeah. Five.
Five.
Yeah.
He reaches out. Snatches the bag, going, you can go anywhere, you... Bertie's hand slaps the jewels that were inside, scatter across the ground of the airfield amongst the torrential rain. The gnome just looks daggers at Bertie.
Cash on delivery, young man.
And I'll be scooping up the gems.
Sure. Okay.
How much for 5 tickets to Prague?
Half of that bag.
How much in gold pieces?
3/4 of that bag. I'm not in need. You guys are.
Bertie picks the gnome up by the neck.
Half of that bag?
1/4 of that bag.
Okay, new deal. None of that bag, but you'll get to keep your lives. Let's go, everyone.
Hooray! Commerce! Bertie's still carrying the gnome by the neck towards the hangar.
Sasha keeps hold of the one that she tackled under an arm.
Having been on airships before, as an incredibly privileged traveller, what is the going rate for inter-city travel by airship?
It depends on the type of transport.
First class.
Assuming it is...
What, you mean it's the only class?
This is Hamid.
It's the only one he'd know. Like,
the sad fact is, it is the only class in air travel.
Yeah.
So, for an airship, you would be looking at, to Prague, reasonable rate would be 50 gold each. It's not cheap. However, there are plenty of other types of transport, and depending on the transport, it could be anything up to 200 all the way down to 25.
I'm going to take 500 gold and put it in the hands of this captain and go, I think you'll find that's more than fair. There doesn't need to be any bad blood. I'm looking back at these guys.
Whilst the rest of them are running to the far hangar.
Yeah.
Okay, the one that you're passing it to goes, that's fine. Why didn't we just do this? What are they doing?
I was trying to!
Let's just go! At which point, they all start running towards the far hangar. You step in from the torrential rain. And the second that you step under, obviously, the hangar appears to be dry. What's more, there appears to be some kind of magical barrier which reminds you of the Cult of Poseidon's headquarters that had that barrier from the storm.
Okay, not the air docks from Star Wars.
No, God, no.
Are they red or blue?
Completely different. So, yeah, stepping through, it's actually bone dry in there and it's actually quite warm. It's a good temperature. And what you see is a vast vessel, the likes of which none of you have ever seen before. To Hamid's practiced eye, it kind of looks like someone took an airship, got rid of that whole balloon thing, and then made the ship bit much bigger and more complicated.
Oh my god, guys, it's a jet!
Sasha, to you, it looks like someone took a chemical factory and strapped it to a boat.
She really likes
to
that
to make
idea.
It go.
That sounds like a great idea.
Zolf,
she appraises it.
What you see is an extremely unseaworthy vessel. Bertie, it's a thing. It's a big thing.
It is large.
What it is a ship. It looks a full-sized ship, and it looks like someone has retrofitted an actual ship.
Hashtag steampunk.
There are a pair of what look like engines or something on the front, and a pair of engines somewhere on the back. Turbine-esque, you don't know what you're looking at. This is kind of advanced stuff. You do see large chemical tanks strapped to the outside of the vessel, which are feeding
exactly
to them.
As safe as I want air travel to be.
There are a pair of huge funnels at the back, which are currently starting to belch bright, like lime green smoke.
Exactly as safe.
All aboard!
You see at the very end of the boat, there is a... I'll call it a ship from now on. You see at the very end of the ship, behind a traditional wheel, albeit with 50 levers on either side of the actual wheel, a gnome in extremely bright clothing. You can't see
how
more than
that. Big is their hat?
Their hat. Their hat is 12 large, which is within the realms of reasonable, but still
impractical.
Does this have excellent. Some sort of mechanical effect?
No, I just really want a sky captain to have a really big hat. Seems correct.
How you measure the importance on a boat is the size.
Admirals just end up with like other boats on their heads.
So all of the burly gnomes are loading up what are the crates that have been stacked here. They're loading them up onto the boat. The one that Hamid passed the money to has a quick conversation with two of them. They go, they look at you all a bit nonplussed, then run out and proceed to finish loading the crates that they've got. They show you up basically a gangplank, which is, you have to go up a little bit of scaffold because it's not designed to be in this kind of a space. And then they gesture for you to go aboard. Like, do you do so?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, with a horrible, horrible grim look on my face.
With a grin, with a wonderful grin. This is amazing. Can I get to fly it? I'm really good at machines.
Bertie is still carrying the gnome by the neck, but as soon as he stands on the deck, he just puts him down and goes, there we go, pats him.
Well, it's a bit slow for you. They start telling you to go onto the gangplank. It creaks ominously beneath your armour. Then a couple of the gnomes come and you get craned onto the boat. As Bertie's feet touch deck and Bertie's gnome's feet touch deck, you are all greeted by the gnome that you saw behind the wheel. Their hat is a peculiar combination of big, floppy, admiral, peacocky thing and actual, like, skyware with the ear things. So what it is it's got the ear flaps, it's got the goggles, and then it has basically a full peacock's tail coming out of the back of it.
Because you wouldn't want it to be a full sail, right? Because you would get a breeze would scoop you off, so you'd want it to have, you know, the ability to flex.
Is there a cog glued on the eye of every peacock?
There is not. However, the gnome, who is short and very slight for gnome standards, like really, really small, strides up to you, and they make what they lack in stature, they make up for in presence. Big swagger.
Still taller than me.
They pull off their goggles, and you all recognize a female gnome. Hands on hips, rapier on one side, and to your eye, Sasha, you recognize an actual gun, which is an incredibly rare thing to see and around. Looks
especially
up at you.
Around explosive chemicals and sacks of air.
Looks to you all and then goes, I see. Looks like we've got some passengers then.
That is precisely
what is happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
Hello! And I'm going to close the episode there in the most unglamorous boarding ever.
No, we are passengers,
we bought tickets, right?
And this is a sky ship.
Yeah, no,
we're
just
going.
Can you show us to our cabins? We've had a really long day.
Are you going in any particular direction?
I'm never going into air travel.
Like to travel in a specific direction.
Can I see the wires?
Like, look, I'm calling this. We'll see you all next week, okay?
Start pressing the button.
Bye, guys!
Bye! Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Hang on, who am I playing?
Who are you really? What's going on? What year is it?
And who are you
Who's
playing?
Who's president? No, this is so much worse than I thought!
I mean, the good news is, Wild is gaining a lot of experience. Because he's making a lot of mistakes. That was a fusion of a D&D-based joke with a wild witticism. Because experience is what helps us level up.
Right,
The wild witticism is experience is the name everyone gives to their mistakes.
Combat role. Oh, wait, oh, oh. It's not all as misfortune.